Welcome to, I think, the fourth installment of Rav Sacks's shiur on Mitzvos Be'Nonim U'Chaveiro. As always, our learning should be as close for the refuah for Chaim Yisachar ben Chaim Mushkit, the covered God over Rav Sacks.
We just recently laid Parshas Balak, and the multiple attempts of Bilam to curse Knesset Yisrael is somewhat surprising. We understand the initial attempt, and yet that he was unsuccessful in doing so, Ma'akov Lo'Kavotel, declaring that, you know, Knesset Yisrael cannot be cursed unless that is the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And how can I curse Knesset Yisrael after all? Kimerosh Surim Erenu. And Rashi comments based on the Medrash Tanhuma that Bilam realized the great sense of schusavos that Knesset Yisrael possesses, and therefore he was unable to bestow anything but a bracha upon him. And therefore it seems to beg the question that how do you understand then the next step? That Balak suggests that l'chaniti al-makom acher, simply let's go to a different place, a different vantage point, Efes, Katseyu Sira, Vakulo Sira. We won't look at the entire Machne Yisrael, but rather merely part of it, and let's see if we are successful at that point cursing Klal Yisrael. And the question obviously begs itself that why is it that they thought that they would be more successful with the second and third attempt than they were in the first? This Rav points out that originally they were attempting to curse Knesset Yisrael as a whole. And the response was that no doubt one cannot do so, Kimerosh Tsurim Erenu, because of the great sense of Schus Avos. And Balak and Bilam understood that Schus Avos is something that could apply to a nation as a whole, as a single unit, as a single entity. But the suggestion was as follows: let's not try to curse all of Knesset Yisrael at once, but rather v'chana itil makom acher, to go to a different point, a different perspective, only the katsehu sira, a small amount of Knesset Yisrael. The schus avos apply to each and every individual. It applies to the collective whole. But does it apply even to Yechidim? And that, the Brisk Rav points out, is the ultimate lesson of the inability to bestow any form of Klala, that Kimirosh Surim Erenu does not only apply to the Klal as a whole, but rather it filters, it reverberates, it is applicable for each and every Yechid as well. And this no doubt emphasizes that dual sense of Kedusha, that every member of Knesset Yisrael possesses a Kedusha in terms of a Yachid individually, but also as part of a collective whole. And no doubt that the theme of Kol Yisrael Arevim Ze Beze, the concept of communal responsibility, emphasizes that particular ideal, not merely enough to concern oneself with one's own Avodas Hashem, but the need always to be mindful of the entire tzibur as a whole. We've often commented, the Gemara tells us in Brachos and Daf Mem Zayin, that Rabbi Eliezer, Bala Beis HaKnesses, Lamotza Be'Asara, Rabbi Lozer came to Shul, the meaning was lacking. Shichr Avdol HaShlim Al Asar. He went ahead and he freed his Eved in order to complete the minyan. The Gemara asked that how in fact is that possible? Kol HaMashafra Avdol Over Be'esei Shenemar Lolam Ben Tavodu. You're not allowed to free an Eved Kanani. And what right did he have to do so? The Gemara comments that mitzvah shani, mitzorach mitzvah, that is considered to be mutter. The Gemara continues, to do an Aveira for the purpose of a mitzvah, isn't that exactly mitzvah haba b'aveira? The Gemara answers, mitzvah derabin shani. This was a mitzvah that the entire tzibur required, and for that, one is allowed to be mishachar in Eved. You know, Tosus is bothered by the following. Freeing an Eved Kanani is forbidden in HaTorah. It's an Isser Esay, ba'olam bahem ta'avodu. And what was the mitzvah that was accommodated? A mitzvah of tzila b'tzibur. Tosus Merash points out, at best, that is only a chiyu derabanan. After all, the Rush points out that it doesn't seem that it was referring to Parsha Zohar, where one could argue that that is Min HaTorah, interesting diuk in the Rush. That would mean that Parsha Zohar is not merely Midaraisa in terms of the need to have a Kriya Satora, but even a Kriya Satora B'tzibur, according to the Rosh, is a Din Daraisa as well, a Chiddush, that the Din Tzibur is considered to be Min HaTorah. But the Gemara doesn't tell us that that was that Shabbos, and therefore it means typically that was the case. In other words, the Rosh and Tosfos point out, for the sake of the Tzibur, even to fulfill a mitzvah derabanan, one could violate that which is forbidden min HaTorah. And that's what the Gemara means of mitzvah derabim shani. The Kedusha slash Tzibur is so great, is so important, that sometimes an individual is justified in vying what is an Isser Darais in order to accommodate a mitzvah derabanan of the entire Tzibur. In fact, also writes, Moikatn Daf Yadav Mavez, Mikan Kasha Lahalochos Gedolos, that this is difficult in terms of the Bahag. You know that Gemara in Moikatn Daf Yadalit describes that what happens if Rachmana Litzlan, a person becomes an Avel during Yantiv. Now a person has two contradictory obligations, the mitzvah of Simcha and the personal Chiyuv of Avelus, and both certainly cannot coexist. It's necessary for one to take precedence over the other. The Gemara tells us as follows, that Asi mitzvah derabim, the dachi mitzvah diachid, the mitzvah of the tzibur takes precedence over any individual chiyuv, and therefore the need to celebrate with the tzibur, the samacha, the chagecha, that prevails, and therefore simchas yantif, and only afterwards does the avelus commence. The Gemara tells us the difference between avelus and simcha. Avelus is yachid, simcha is Rabbi, what about Daraisa versus Durabanan? What role exactly does that play? So fascinating. Here you have a machlokes, the Rambam, in Tosfos. Tosfos writes, Moikatn Daf Yudalid, that both are Durabanan. Avelus is only Durabanan, and the mitzvah of Simcha, Bizman Hazeh, is also Durabanan. That's the Chiddush of Tosfos, because real Simchas Yantif means it means offering karbanos. Simcha without a Beis Hamikdash is only derabanan. So a person bizman hazeh who becomes an avil during yantif is faced with two mitzvos derabanan, which takes precedence over which? The answer is rabim versus yachid. And the Baal Halachos Gedolos argues in both cases. The Bahag maintains that avelus is daraisa, and simcha bizman hazeh is Daraisa. And therefore the Gemara is contrasting not two mitzvot drabanan, but two Torah obligations, one of simcha, one of avelus, but still, the mitzvah derabim of simcha takes precedence over the mitzvah diyakir of avelus. They both agree that simcha takes priority over avelus, but a fascinating machlokes is the Gemara dealing with two mitzvot daraisa or two mitzvot drabanan. Is there any difference? Whether Daraisa versus Rabbanan, the bottom line is Simcha takes precedence over Avelus. So the Bahag writes the following, let's assume that all of this occurred on the last day, on the last day of Yantif. After all, the Gemara writes in Beit Sandavav that Kfura Sameis can occur even on Yantif. And Yantif Rishon, Ayyadei Amamim, Ayyadei Nachri, and Yantif Sheni, Ayyadei Yisrael. So let's assume, for example, it was the very last day of Yantif. Now what? A person is faced with Simcha, and a person is faced with Avelus. Well, according to Tosfos, Simcha is Drabanan, Avelus is Drabanan, Simcha takes precedence over Avelus. But according to Halachos Gedolos, now Avelus is Daraisa, and Simcha, the last day of Yontif, is only Drabanan. Now you have a mitzvah Daraisa of Avelus, and Simcha, which is Drabanan, so the Psak of the Bahad, in that case, Avelus takes precedence over the mitzvah of Simcha. The only reason Simcha as opposed to Avelus is because they're both on an even plane, both Daraisa, then Rabim versus Yachid. However, if you were to construct a case like the last day of Yantif, where Simcha is only Derabanan, Avelus is Daraisa, then Avelus would take precedence. That's the Psak of the Mechaber in Hilchos Avelus and Shin Sarites, that in such an instance, then Avelus, as opposed to Simcha, and the Ramah disagrees. Tosfos writes this very simply, Mikan Kashal Alochos Gedolos. That story of Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar was Meshacher his Eved for the purpose of Sibur, violating Ba'ola Ben Tavodu. Ba'ola Ben Tavodu is Min HaTorah. And Sibur is only Derabanan.
Tosfos writes, you see that a mitzvah derabanan derabim takes precedence over a mitzvah daraisa diachid. And therefore, Tosfos writes, even if you'll grant the position of halachos gedolos, that avelos is daraisa, but still, simcha will take precedence over avelos because a mitzvah derabim takes precedence over a mitzvah diachid. It emphasizes that sense of two kedushas, kedusha as a yachid, kedusha as a tzibur, and even to that extent, according to Tosfos Ashita, a mitzvah derabim takes precedence over a mitzvah diachid, even in the extreme instance where the mitzvah diachid is derais and the mitzvah derabim is only that which is derabanan. But no doubt, it bears out that dual sense of kedusha, linking and being part of the tzibur as a whole. The Gemara points out in Megillah Daf Lamed Aleph that the Tochacha is found twice in Chumash. It is found in Parshas Bechukosai and then reiterated in Parshas Kitzavo. The Gemara writes there was a special Takanas Ezra, always to lay in the Tochacha before the Yantif of Shavuos and before the Yantif of Rosh Hashanah. After all, the brachos and klalos is appropriate to be mindful of that sense of bechira, of brachos, klalos, before the time of Shavuos, before the time of Rosh Hashanah. But the Gemara does point out in Megillah Daf Lamed Aleph that there is a marked difference between them. That the Tochacha in Sefer Vayikra is Beloshon Rabin, Im Bechukosai Teilechu, in the plural. Whereas the Tochacha in Kisavo is rendered in the singular. And what exactly is the difference between them? The Ronagon points out as follows. That when the Torah renders a mitzvah in the Rabin, typically it means each and every individual. Each and every individual. Not the tzibur as a whole, but many, multiple individuals are obligated to do so. The Gemara writes, for example, in Sukkot Daf Mem Beis, Ulekachtem Lachem, Loshen Rabim, Ulekachtem, Lekicha Biyakol Echad Biyakol. Everyone is obligated to take the Dalet Minim. Tosfos writes, Minichsiv Ulekachtem, Velokhsiv Ulekachto. It doesn't say that you, as a single unit, but many, everyone is obligated to do so. The Gemara writes, Semenachos Gassamachay, Usvartem Lachem, Sphir Lachalecha Biyachad, everyone is obligated to count the days of the Omer. And this is the contrast to counting the years of the Yovel. There the Torah tells us, Visafarta Lecha, Lecha, which is Lashon Yachid. What does it mean that you, Klal Yisrael, count? It means as a single unit. So Tosfos explains, and that's Sugya, in Menachos and Daf Samachay, and Tosfos writes as well, in Ksuvos Daf Ayin Beis, it means that every year the Sanhedrin convenes and the Sanhedrin counts, Tosfos writes with a bracha, the year of the Yovel. This is the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth year of the Yovel cycle, but since it's rendered the Lashon Yachid, therefore Klal Yisrael as a whole is obligated to count. How does Klal Yisrael as a whole count? The representative of Klal Yisrael, Nitzigei Knesset Yisrael, and that is the Sanhedrin. If the Torah tells us, Usvartem Lachem B'Lashon Rabim, then each individual is obligated to do so. In earlier Shiurim, we discussed, for example, the Isser of Baltosif, that one is not allowed to add in performing mitzvos Hashem. Baltosif is mentioned twice in Chumash. It's mentioned Beloshon Rabim in Parshas Ve'eschanan, Lo Sosifu Olav, but then in Parshas Re'eh, the Torah repeats Lo Sosef Olav, Beloshon Yachim. Two different parshas of Baltosif, according to this distinction, that would mean there's Baltosif for the individual, but there also is Baltosif for the representative of Knesset Yisrael, namely the Sanhedrin. Where do you find that that's true? That's exactly what the Rambam writes. The Rambam writes an interesting chiddush that not only is there a baltosif for an individual who performs a mitzvah behosafa, a person who puts on tefillin with an added parsha, a person who takes an added min on sukkis, but there also is baltosif dehora, baltosif when it comes to the instruction of the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin has a right, obviously, to institute dinim drabana. The Gemara writes in the sugya in Shabbos and Daf Chav Gimel, the pasuk of Los Asar, in Yevamos and Daf Chav Aleph, the pasuk of Ushmartim es Mishmarti. The Sanhedrin has a right to institute gzeros and takanos. The Rambam writes with a caveat that they make it absolutely clear that they're doing so, but only as a din Drabanan.
They can forbid chicken and milk as long as they make it clear that this is Drabanan. But the Rambam writes, if they will declare that this is forbidden min HaTorah, Bisar of Becholah, then the Sanhedrin violates the Isser of Baal Tosef. That's what the Rambam writes in Perek Beis of Hilchos Mamim.
So the Ravid raises the following difficulties. Mehecha Teisi, where do you see that that's true? After all, when you look at the sugyas and shas, Rosh Hashanah Chochess, of Baal Tosef, those are cases of a person who inappropriately performs a mitzvah, the Hosafa, a mitzvah which is embellished. That's Baal Tosef. A mitzvah which is performed in a diminished fashion, that's Baal Tigra. But where do you see that there is Baal Tosef of Horah? Where do you see, in fact, that that's true? So, you know, if you look in the Rambam, it's very, very meduyan. Because the Rambam in Hilchos Mamim, you find this also in the Rambam in the very beginning of the Yad HaChazakah. The Rambam lists all of the Tariq mitzvahs. He called that the Minyan HaMitzvah Sakatzer of the Rambam. And then the Rambam, after he lists the Tariq mitzvahs, the Rambam has two paragraphs. And there the Rambam writes, realize what I have just enumerated are the 613 mitzvahs HaTorah. But there also are mitzvahs Derabanan, and the Chachamim certainly have a right to institute Dinan Drabanan, and that's not called Baal Tosef. By instituting Dinan Drabanan, they wouldn't violate the Isser of, and the Rambam cites the Pasuk of Parshas Re'eh, Lo Sosef Alav, Lo Sigra Mena. The Rambam skips the Pasuk in Veskanan, the earlier Pasuk. The Rambam cites the Pasuk in Re'eh. In other words, that Pasuk is, Lo Shem Yachid, that like counting the years of the Yovel. That is a Chiyuv which is incumbent upon Klal Yisrael as a whole. How does Klal Yisrael as a whole, the unit of Knesset Yisrael, violate Baal Tosef? That seemingly is the source of the Rambam of Baal Tosef the Horah when it comes to Sanhedrin. See, even when it comes to Baal Tosef, two different parshios, singular versus plural, similar to the Telfacha. The Telfacha in Vayikra, right, is plural. It applied to each and every individual. The Telchacha and Kisavo, that was rendered in the singular. Knesset Yisrael as a whole. You know, in fact, the Zolmagon has the following comment. You read the Telchacha and Parshas Kisavo, it's frightening, frightening, right? Wonderful brachos, but terrible, catastrophic klala that applies to a person who does not adhere to the mitzvah session. And all of a sudden, now the very beginning of Parshas Kisavo, very unusual. When a person hears the words of the Telchacha, a person's response will be that, you know what, no problem, that I can follow any desire of my heart, and Shalom Yeli, right, peace will come to me. Unusual. That's the response of the Telchacha. You read what the Telchacha tells you, and the response is, no problem, no big deal. Now, why is that the response to the Telchacha? So the Vilna writes the following Chiddush, that, you know, the Telchacha in Vayikra is Lashon Rabbah, and that's L'chol Echad V'Echad. Here, this Telchacha is Lashon Yachid. Lashon Yachid usually means Klal Yisrael as a whole. The Tzibur as a whole, not necessarily the individual. That Sibur doesn't have to count the years of the Yovel individually, collectively is done. And here, Bahaya Bishamas Devi Allah Azos, the Gon writes, this Telchacha, it's rendered in the singular. And therefore, a person may err and think that, you know what, I can do whatever I want as long as kind of the Tzibur as a whole, right, keeps intact, and they will observe the mitzvah Hashem, but me individually, that is really not pressing, that is not so significant. That's why the Pasuk emphasizes, no, that's not true. Here, you know why the singular is used? Because that's exactly the description of Parshas Nitzavim. You may think it's because you can do whatever. No, that's not true. Here, it's because lo itchem levadchem. Anochi koris esabris azos. Plural means to all of you who are here. Here, as Rashi points out, this Telchacha binds all of Knesset Yisrael as a whole throughout our history, throughout our millennia. Even those who are Einanu Omeid Po Hayom, even those who are no longer present, anyone who will ever become part of the Tzibur is bound by this particular Telchacha. And how can that be? The answer is, the Lashon Yachid. anyone who is ever part of the unit. Here it's not coming to exclude the individual, but rather in the most inclusive possible sense that everyone is bound by this Torah. That's what the Gaon writes. That the reason that this is rendered B'lashon Yachid. And if you look in the Gemara Sanhedrin, the Mem Gimel, this is where the Gemara derives the principle of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebazeh. Arvus. The Gemara writes that it wasn't until this point that there was real arvus. That's the pasuk of Hanistaros Vashem Lotenu, the Niglos Lamu Vanenu. The Tolchoch and Parshas Kisavo, followed by the opening Suvim Pasas Nisavim, right? That was the real arvus. And why is it that the Torah only mentioned it then? The Gemara writes because arvus did not fully apply until Knesset Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael. In the Midbar, so to speak, we were Yechidim. When we entered Eretz Yisrael, then the Gemara says, when we crossed the Eivar Yarden, then there was full Arvus. It's as though that only with Eretz Yisrael, with the national homeland that unifies Knesset Yisrael, that's when one could have full, absolute Arvus. And therefore the Gemara writes this Tolkocha is rendered B'loshim Yachid. This is the basis of that concept of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebazeh, and therefore this Tolkocha specifically, uniquely, is rendered B'loshim Yachid, and therefore that's its derivation. Hanistaros Hashem Lokeinu V'Riglos Lono V'Nei Ad Olam. And therefore our responsibility, not to see to it that we merely individually perform the mitzvah Hashem, but rather that Knesset Yisrael will go ahead and adhere to the mitzvah Hashem. My responsibility to see to it that others fulfill the mitzvah Hashem, that others avoid Avei Rav Chaim Shmulevitz and Sichas Musar. Parshas Balak has this beautiful insight that, you know, the Mishnah tells us in Perakei Avos that the Pi Ha'asam was created ben Hashmashos of Erev Shabbos as part of Ria Shemayim Va'aretz. The Asam was already created, this Asam of Bilam. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz writes the Musar Haskel, no doubt, is how far a person is obligated to do to see to it that another individual does not commit a chet. Why was it so necessary to have the asam? Well, Bilam haliteo l'rasha l'yamos. Now, Bilam wants to err, let him err. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create this part of Bria Shamayim Va'aretz, an asam, to be able to remind Bilam, to try to steer him away from doing that which is wrong? What's the Musar Haskel? He writes exactly that point. The immense, immense ishtadlus, right, that a person must undertake in order to see to it that he demonstrates that sense of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebazeh. There is a fascinating machlokas between Rabbi Kiveger and Oda Biuda. How is it that one understands the concept of Arvus? We discussed the mitzvah Tokacha. We discuss Lifnei Vositei Mikshal. We point out in both of those cases a fascinating possibility that how are they to be viewed? Lifnei Vositei Mikshal. Is that a broad iser, a mitzvah klalis? Simply do not place a mikshal, a stumbling block. With many examples of a mikshal. I cause one Jew to be Machalos Shabbos, I cause one Jew to eat Machalos Asuros, or do I argue that's not true? There's a particular nature to Lifnei Vositei Mikshal depending on each and every Avera. Lifnei Iver of Shabbos is not the same as Lifnei Iver of Kashrus. Lifnei Iver takes on the characteristics of the particular Avera at hand. We discussed in earlier Shir, from our focus, Balmor and Ramban, a great Kiddush, the Balmor Shita, that Lifnei Iver of Yehareg Vayavor is Yehareg Vayavor. Lifnei Iver of one of the Averas HaChamuras itself is called an Avera Chamura. And Ramban disagrees and writes, that's not true. Lifnei Iver is a separate, broad category. We pointed out that Chiddush of the Rambam, that there's no Malchus on Lifnei Iver, because the Rambam writes in Sefer Mitzvos and Shorah says that Lifnei Iver is Lav Shebechlalos. Lav Shebechlalos. The Rambam already writes, in order to be called Lav Shebechlalos, it's not enough to have many examples of the same Isser, but you have to have many individual Isserim, as we discussed, no? And apparently that's true of Lifnei Iver, that it has an individual focus. Lifnei Iver is part of that particular Avera at hand.
You know, there's a fascinating comment that the Meshachach Marais,
the Rambam seemingly, not so clear, but seemingly doesn't count tshuva as one of the Taryag Mitzvahs. The Rambam does count vidui, but the Rambam does not count tshuva
as one of the Taryag Mitzvahs. Much literature that discussing this apparent omission of the Rambam. The Meshachach Marais suggests that tshuva is not an independent mitzvah, but tshuva is part of each and every mitzvah. Kadosh Baruch Hu says you must do this, you can't do this, and therefore as part of that mitzvah, as part of that avera, is the tshuva component. After all, a person fails to perform a mitzvah, a person violates an avera, so now all is not lost. A person has an opportunity for zdonos nase kishkagos or nasos kizuchuyos, not as an independent mitzvah, but rather part of each and every mitzvah. So when it comes to various mitzvahs, one can raise that question as a broad umbrella, a mitzvah klalis, or as a mitzvah pratis that takes on the characteristics of every mitzvah at hand.
What about when it comes to arvos? To what extent is arvos a separate mitzvah? To what extent did we assume that no, arvus is an extension of each and every mitzvah? As though to argue as follows, you know what, I'm obligated in the mitzvah of Kiddush. Part of my mitzvah of Kiddush is not only that I make Kiddush, but I have to see to it that everyone will fulfill their mitzvah of Kiddush. That's part of my obligation of Zachar Yisrael Shabbos Bekadosho. And if you'll say, where do you see that that's true? I have to be concerned with my Kiddush. Your Kiddush? The answer is, Kol Yisrael Reivim Zabazah means that part of your obligation in that mitzvah is to see to it that that indeed is the case. Because the note of Yehuda raises the following issue. He writes an unusual kasha, famous kasha found in Dogam Avava, Simen Reish, Ayin Aleph. Men are obligated in Kiddush on Shabbos and Mitzvah in HaTorah, but the Gemara tells us in Brachos Tavchav and Shavuos Tavchav that women are obligated in the mitzvah of Kiddush as well. Even though one would have thought that Kiddush is a mitzvah cessation as non grama, that's the drasha of the Gemara that knows Zachar v'shamar v'diborachad memru, kol sheishno b'shmir, yeshno b'zechira. Whoever is obligated to refrain from malach is obligated in the essay of Zechira Shabbos, and therefore women are obligated in Kiddush as well. When do we fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush min HaTorah? Many Rishonim assume. The Rambam writes, for example, Kiddush b'makom sud is only drabanan. Kiddush al hayayin is only drabanan. Hamavarach tzorach sheyitam, the Gemara Ervin daf mem, all of that is only drabanan. Midaraisa, all that is necessary is Kiddush bidvarim. Kiddush bidvarim. If that is the case, one now can raise the following issue. When then do you fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush? You don't need wine, and you don't need suda, and you don't need any te'ima, any eating, drinking, so when do you fulfill the mitzvah? So the Magen Avraham writes that you fulfill the mitzvah with tefillah. That's the Magen Avraham in Reish Ayin Aleph. When a person davens Marev, Ata Kiddush Es Yom HaShvi V'Shmecha, in such a case, the mitzvah min HaTorah of Kiddush is in fact fulfilled. The Menachas Sinah questions whether that's true. The Menachas Sinah has found the mitzvah Lamed Aleph, because the Menachas Sinah points out that there is an element of Kiddush which is lacking in Tefillah, and that is what the Gemara writes in Pesachim Kuf Yizayin, that Mazkirim Yitzias Mitzrayim B'Kiddush Hayom. When you make Kiddush, you also have to acknowledge that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. And in the Shabbos Shmon Esrei, there is no mention of Yitzias Mitzrayim. So if you hold that Kiddush on Yantif is Daraisa, or if it's a Yantif which falls on Shabbos, in that Shmon Esrei, you not only mention and emphasize the Kedusha Sayom, you also acknowledge Yetzias Mitzrayim. Good, but on a typical Shabbos, in Cheskina cries, that is not true. But Rabbi Kreger, the Magen Avraham assume that is not the case. When is Yotzei the Mitzvah Daraisa with Davening Mariv? Because that is considered to be Kiddush B'dvarim. In fact, if you look in Tosus Rid, the Tosus Rid in Sachim, two days. There are different versions of Tosus Rid and Sachim. There are three different Maduras. So if you look in Kuvav, Mukum, Kuf Yedavid, there the Tosus Rid discusses, is Kiddush B'makom Suda Daraisa? Is Kiddush B'makom Suda only Darabana? Two days in Tosus Rid.
Tosus Rid writes the fasting nafka mina. Tosus Rid writes that if Kiddush of Makom Suda is daraisa, is there such a mitzvah on Yom Kippur? No, certainly not. Kiddush of Makom Suda on Yom Kippur? Obviously not. But if you assume that midaraisa, you don't need a suda and you don't need yayin, all you need is Kiddush v'dvarim, the Tosus Rid is mufurish. Misachan Kuf Yud Aleph, that there is a mitzvah daraisa of Kiddush even on Yom Kippur, even on Yom Kippur. And when you daven Ma'ariv Kol Nidrei night, aside from the mitzvah of tefillah, but one should be mindful of this mitzvah. A mitzvah writes that the mitzvah is found in Shabbos and the Chaf Gimel. There the Gemara questions: a person doesn't have enough money for Ner Chanukah and for the Yayin of Kiddush. So which one would take precedence over the other? The Gemara writes, Ner Chanukah is Pesum Inisa. Ner Chanukah, like first, even before the Yayin of Kiddush. So the Ritva is bothered that, why is that? After all, Ner Chanukah is only Drabanan, and Kiddush is Min HaTorah. So therefore, if one could only do one, shouldn't you give preference to the Mitzvah Daraisa of Kiddush? The Ritva answers, no, Kiddush Midaraisa is Kiddush Bidvari. You don't need Yayin for Kiddush Daraisa. Good. And then the Ritva adds, Kamo Shematzinu B'Yom HaKippur. That's what the Ritva writes, just like on Yom Kippur. There's obviously a mitzvah daraisa of Kiddush when it comes to Yom Kippur, right? Because midaraisa, like that's all that in fact is necessary. Kiddush B'dvarim. It's important to be mindful of that. If that's the case, so Magen Avraham writes, Midaven Ma'ariv. You fulfill the mitzvah daraisa of Kiddush. In which case, the Noda B'Yidah writes, the Dogma of Avah, there in Shulchan Aruch Ha'Yishayin Aleph, now you come home. So what happens when you come home? You're obligated in Kiddush now only Drabanan, Kiddush Al Yayin, Kiddush Makom Suda. Your wife is obligated in the midst of Kiddush Min HaTorah, assuming that she did not daven Ma'ariv. So therefore, how is it that you will make Kiddush for your wife and the Noda B'Yidah writes Sarachim? How is that possible? How can a man be motzi a woman in Kiddush if in fact the man daven Ma'ariv and the woman did not? Well, isn't the obvious answer Arbus, Ko Yisrael, Arevim Zebozeh? Isn't that the obvious teretz? Don't we apply a principle of Yatzah Motzi, what the Gemara writes from Shandav Chavtesa? What do you mean? I can make Kiddush, and then I can repeat the Kiddush a second, a third, a fourth, a fifth time to be motzi someone who, as of yet, did not make Kiddush. So the Noda B'Yudah quotes a line in the Rush, where the Rush writes, Nashim lav benos arvus ninu. Arvus doesn't apply to women. Arvus doesn't apply to women. So if there's no arvus, and you are already yotzei, how is it possible that you can make Kiddush for your wife? That's a difficulty that the Noda B'Yudah raises. So Rabbi Kiveger discusses this Noda B'Yudah. There in Shulchan Aruch, this is all printed in Simon Reish Ayin Aleph, in the Simon of Kiddush. Rabbi Kiveger writes as follows. The Rush writes that. Is that what the Rush means? That there's no arvus? What was the context of that statement of the Rush? That notion, lav benos arvus ninu. What exactly was that context? The problem that bothers the Rush is the following. The Gemara in Brachos and Daf Chof questions whether the obligation of women in benching, is that min haTorah or is that only drabanan? It's a Mishnah that women are obligated in Berachas HaMazon. But is that daraisa or is that drabanan? Why should you assume it's daraisa? Of course it's daraisa. No, it's a mitzvah to say shein hazman gram. Of course. Why should you assume it's only drabanan? Somewhat unclear. No. Rashi writes, is because hala aretz atov eshenasana. And that is that Berachas HaMazon is bound with Yerushas Aretz, and therefore women who typically don't receive a portion of Eretz Yisrael, so therefore they're exempt from Berachas HaMazon. Tosus disagrees, and Tosus writes, no, it's because of the need of Bris in Torah. The Gemara is in Brachos, it's necessary to mention Bris in Torah in Berachas HaMazon, and therefore Tosus writes that that's the possibility of the Gemara, that since women are not obligated in Bris, women are obligated in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, therefore perhaps they're exempt midaraisa from the mitzvah of Berachas HaMazon. It would appear from this Tosus that the need to acknowledge Bris and Torah in benching is
Daraisa is min haTorah, because we're bothered by why are women exempt min haTorah. Tosfos writes Brit haTorah.
That's against the Ritva, for example. The Ritva who writes that the need to mention Brit and Torah in benching is only a din derabanan. It is not a din Daraisa. But Pashav Shan Tosfos, it really is, in that sense, a din Daraisa.
The question is, what's the difference? What's the difference as to whether women are obligated in benching Midaraisa, whether women are obligated in benching Drabanan? The Gemara says the obvious difference. Can women be motzi men in Berachas HaMazon?
If everyone is obligated min haTorah, then yes. But if I'm obligated min haTorah, and my wife is only obligated Midrabanan, so therefore she cannot recite the Berachas HaMazon, right, and be motzi me. After all, in a mochliya b'davar, in a motzi esrabin, yidei chavasa. Good, so how could she bench? For me, I'm obligated midaraisa, she's only obligated rabbanon.
The Rosh is bothered by the following kasha. The Gemara writes later in Brachos, that memches.
How much do you have to eat in order to be chayv in Berachas HaMazon? So the view of Rashi, the view in Tosfos, the achalta, the savata, you have to eat kedesviya. You have to be fully satiated. Then you're obligated in benching min haTorah. Don't you have to bench for kazayis? Yeah, but that's only drabanan. Rashi and Tosfos maintain that you eat a kazayis, you're obligated drabanan. You eat kedesviya, then you're obligated min haTorah. But yet, Rashi and Tosfos explain that the Gemara writes in Daf Memches that a person who only eats a kazayis can be motzi someone in Berachas HaMazon who eats kedesviya. So therefore, right, one has to ask, are you full? If you eat a kazayis, right, it's good enough to go ahead and to be motzi someone else in Berachas HaMazon. The old minhag, right, was that one person would bench and he is motzi everyone in Berachas HaMazon. So in such a case, if you eat a kazayis, that's considered to be sufficient. So the problem is, wait a second, you can eat a kazayis, you can be motzi kedesviya. So you see that a drabanan can be motzi a daraisa. So how does the Gemara say that earlier in Brachos and Dafchav that if women are only obligated drabanan, they cannot be motzi a man who's obligated min haTorah? Don't you see from kazayis and kedesviya that we do not make that distinction? That's the kasha of the Rosh. So the Rosh writes as follows. If a person eats a kazayis, one man eats a kazayis, another man eats kedesviya. You're right, I'm only obligated kazayis in benching drabanan, but arvus, kol yisrael arevim zebazeh, allows me to recite the Berachas HaMazon for you. I can read the Megillah repeatedly, once, twice, three times, four times, to remote to you. I can bench repeatedly to remote to you. Kol yisrael arevim zebazeh. So therefore, even if I only ate a kazayis, and you ate kedesviya, I can still be motzi in Berachas HaMazon. If anything, one could ask the opposite. Why do you have to eat at all?
I should be able to be motzi in Berachas HaMazon without eating at all. Just like I can lay the Megillah for you a second, third, and fourth time. But certainly, if you eat a kazayis, you can motzi kedesviya. But the Gemara Berachos and Daf Chav is talking about a woman. Ooh, that's where the Rosh writes, Nashim lav banos arvos nimin. The arvos does not apply. That's the context of the Rosh. What exactly does that mean? Nashim la benos arvos ninen. What does that mean? So Rabbi Kivei derives, it does not mean a halacha that women are excluded from arvos. That's what it means. Why in the world should that be? Kol Yisrael Arvim Zebazeh applies to men and it doesn't apply to women. Is that really the case? What the Rosh means is something very, very different. It means as follows. That arvos is not an independent mitzvah, but rather arvos is part of each and every mitzvah. My obligation of kiddush is I should make kiddush and the arvos of kiddush. My obligation of Berachas HaMazon is that I bench and the arvos element of Berachas HaMazon. That's what the Rosh means. So the Gemara there is suggesting that women are exempt from Berachas HaMazon. Because of Bris and Torah, because of Rishus Haaretz, women are exempt from Berachas HaMazon in HaTorah. If women are exempt from Berachas HaMazon, they're exempt from the arvos of Berachas HaMazon. So that's what the Rosh means. If a woman is exempt from benching, how can she be motzi a man? He'll say arvos. If a woman is exempt from Berachas HaMazon, she's exempt from the Berachas HaMazon and the arvos of Berachas HaMazon. The Gemara in Daf Mem Ches, the Rosh points out, is talking about a man who typically is obligated in Birchas HaMazon, who only ate a kazayis, not kedei sviya. The man is obligated in the arvus of Birchas HaMazon. In other words, if you want to ask me, are you obligated in arvus of this mitzvah? The answer is, well, it depends. Are you obligated in the mitzvah? If you're obligated in the mitzvah, then yes, by extension, you're obligated in the arvus of that mitzvah. And if not, then not. In other words, that arvus is not an independent mitzvah, but rather arvus is part of each and every mitzvah. And therefore, if you're exempt from the mitzvah, you're exempt from the arvus of that particular mitzvah. That's what the Rosh means. But let's assume when it comes to Kiddush. Men are obligated in Kiddush. Women are obligated in Kiddush. That's the Gemara Brachos and Afaf. So of course, everyone is obligated in Kiddush and in Arvus of Kiddush. And therefore, the Nodibir's assumption that you can apply the Rosh to Kiddush, that Nashim Lav and Osarvus Ninu, Rabbi Kenega writes, is not correct. Of course there's Arvus. And therefore, men can make Kiddush multiple times, for men, for women, as long as each and every time someone now is fulfilling that mitzvah. In other words, Rabbi Kenega maintains we don't view Arvus as an independent mitzvah, but rather as an extension of each and every mitzvah. It is a chiddush. The Nodibir assumes that's not true. That arvus is not to be viewed as an extension of, but rather as an independent chiddush. And if the Rosh writes that women are excluded from arvus, it means they're excluded from this separate mitzvah of arvus. See, one could argue what troubled the Nodibir Yehuda is exactly this. I'm exempt from mitzvah, but does it really depend on me? The way Rabbi Kenegar argues, are you obligated in the arvus of this mitzvah or not? Well, it depends on whether you are obligated in the mitzvah. Let me paint this scenario. Imagine, for example, that
we can't find in the entire community a kosher lulavanesser. And all of a sudden, you come across one. Right? How beautiful lulavanesser. Good. And who owns this lulavanesser? A woman. So we ask her, you know what, can you be makna lulavanesser to me in order that I can be otse? And imagine, she'll say no, right? And we'll say, what about arvus? And her response will be, this is mangrama. I'm exempt from David Minim, and therefore I'm exempt from the arvus of David Minim. Isn't it mistaver that you would turn to and say, you know what, the arvus is not dependent on the giver, but rather it's dependent on the recipient. I'm obligated in the mitzvah. And you're in a position to facilitate my performance of a mitzvah. Isn't that arvus? It is a chiddush to assume that the arvus of a mitzvah is dependent on whether or not the one who's performing the mitzvah is obligated, not the recipient. Right, not the beneficiary, but the provider. That's a chiddush, no? And Pashup Shat, the Nodibir pointed out that that was not necessarily true. But that's the chiddush Rabbi Kvega writes, that arvus is considered to be part of each and every mitzvah. I'll give you another example. That case of Birchas HaMazon that I just mentioned. Another Rabbi Kvega, the Shitasa. The Gemara debates whether women are obligated in benching Daraisa Drabanan. Why are they only obligated to Rabbanan? So as mentioned, Tosfos says, because Bris and Tovim. What was the question? Why should women be exempt from benching? So the answer is no, Bris and Tovim. Now I'll ask you the opposite. If Bris and Tovim is such an inherent part of Birchas HaMazon, so what's the suffix of the Gemara? How can women be obligated in? That's how Tosfos presents it. Now, how can women be obligated in Birchas HaMazon? Birchas HaMazon requires Bris and Torah, and women are exempt from Bris and Torah. So therefore, how can you possibly argue they're obligated to bench? That's Tosfos Rishkasha. So Tosfos writes interesting chiddush. This possibility that women are obligated to Birchas HaMazon and Torah, we treat this as a suffix lahalacha. This possibility that women are obligated to Birchas HaMazon means that they would have to bench, but they wouldn't have to recite Bris and Torah. In other words, benching for men requires Bris and Torah, and benching for women is without Bris and Torah. That's what Tosfos writes. See, even though that both men and women would be obligated in benching Min HaTorah, it's not an identical Birchas HaMazon.
men have to bench with Bris and Torah, and without that they wouldn't be Yotze. But women who are excluded from Bris and Torah, they don't have to acknowledge Bris and Torah. In other words, you have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything He has bestowed upon you, all that He has obligated you to perform, to fulfill. So for men, that embraces Bris and Torah. For women, that does not. Good? That's Tosis. So the Kveger is bothered by the following there in Brachos and Nachot. The Gemara says, what's the difference? Whether women are obligated to Raisa, women are obligated to Rabbanan. The Gemara says, can women be Motzi? Men? So the Kveger is bothered. What about Bris and Torah? A woman is going to be motzi a man in benching. Tosafot just got through saying that the woman's benching is without Bris and Torah, and the man's benching is with Bris and Torah. So what do you mean that women can be motzi men in Berachas HaMazon? The chiyuv is not the same. It's not going to include Bris and Torah. That's Rabbi Kaviger's kasha. Rabbi Kaviger answers that even when the Gemara says that women can be motzi men, women can be motzi men in the root, Birchas HaMazon, but the man will still have to say Bris and Torah. That he's going to have to do regardless. No? The man, he doesn't know how to bench. So a woman is going to be Motziyam. Good. The woman will say, I can be Motziyam almost everything. But these lines, the Bris and Torah, that you have to say, that you have to say yourself. An interesting Kiddush. Poshuv Shetas L'Shitaseh. That Kiddush. How is that L'Shitaseh? That's the same Rabbi Kaveger. In other words, that Arvus is not based on your view, but rather Arvus is an extension of my chiyuv, and it cannot transcend my obligation in the mitzvah. And therefore, if women are obligated in Birchas HaMazon without Bris and Torah, Arvus would not allow them to recite Bris and Torah on behalf of a man. One could have argued that if I'm obligated in Arvus, so Birchas HaMazon, I have to do whatever is necessary to see to it that you fulfill the mitzvah. And for you, Bris and Torah is needed, and therefore I can go ahead and recite that on your behalf. Rabbi Kaveger writes that no, that Arvus is only going to go as far as your obligation in a particular mitzvah, and therefore if a woman is exempt from a mitzvah, there's no Arvus to that mitzvah. If a woman is exempt from an element of the mitzvah, Bris and Torah, she cannot be motzi men in that aspect of the Bris and Torah as well, and other Achram disagree. The Chikr Lev writes that no, women are obligated in benching, they're obligated in Arvus, so therefore, women can do whatever is necessary through Arvus to see to it that you will fulfill your chiyuv of Birchas HaMazon. And even if she doesn't need Bris and Torah, but it's not from her perspective, it's rather from the perspective of the one who is being Yotzei, not the one who is being Motzi, the other individual. No, it's just a chiddush that those two concepts, Rabbi Kaveger, align. But it's an important issue whether Arvus is viewed independently or whether it is viewed as part of each and every mitzvah. And that's the understanding of Rabbi Kaveger's shita. We'll have to discuss the next year various other aspects of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zavazem, more in the concept of Yatza Motzi, but how in fact that works, and what the Ritzvah emphasizes, the thrust of Arvus is viewing all of Knesset Yisrael in a very literal sense of being Guf Echad, a single entity, right? A collective unit, a single whole, and therefore, just as we don't view limbs of the body, the Ritzvah writes, independently, but as part as a collective whole, a unit, the same thing is true when it comes to Knesset Yisrael. This, the Gemara writes in Sanhedrin, was part of the Tochacha as Knesset Yisrael were about to enter Eretz Yisrael. Lashon Yachid as a Ma'ache, that which unites all of Knesset Yisrael as a single unit. I don't want to get off the business, so we'll see.